Fart.
Cocksucker!
Hello, welcome to episode 62 of what are we doing? TryGames.net podcast.
The podcast of the ages.
Why are we whispering?
I have no idea.
Okay, let's stop whispering.
Yeah.
Shh.
We're hosting episode 62 of the TryGames.net podcast today. We're going to talk about a lot of shit. Lot of shit. There's a lot of news, a lot of news that we're going to cover, and as usual, Al has to go to work, and we woke up late today because we were out yesesterday very late. So we are just going to do the news. Just going to do the news, do some mailbag, and be done with it. Ethan's not with us today. He has to be with his family again. Wish him well. Please, everyone, for us. He'll be back soon, hopefully. But in the meantime, we're going to save that topic that we were going to do, which was Dennis Dyack's One Console Future. We're going to save that for when he comes back. So we're just going to do some random stuff today.
But first, Al, what have you been playing?
Work. Guitar Hero for the League, and that's it, really.
So you've taken the role of Ethan while he's gone. Okay.
Yeah, you know, 12-hour days and all that other shit. You know, I think I may have played Clubhouse games like for 20 minutes this week. It's terrible.
Would you say that for this league you play Guitar Hero more than you have in past in the recent, like, I don't know how long since
I've
you've
played
actually...
it more than since I finished the games. Yeah,
holy shit. Wow.
But the thing is, I've been playing the same game over and over, so basically I played for about two hours this week.
Right.
No, not 2 hours, about 3 hours in total between last Sunday morning before the podcast and yesterday.
Right. Huh. Tony, what have you been playing? Final Fantasy XII. I got you. We're like, that one I didn't get.
Huh?
You said Final Fantasy XII and what else?
That's Final Fantasy.
Asshole.
Sound like you said Final Fantasy VIII. Yeah, oh, no, and that's it.
No. That's it.
That's what I'm playing.
All right, since you're useless, I have been playing, I actually got Ridge Racer 7 for PS3, and I started playing that. And you know what? Surprisingly, sarcastically, it's the same exact game as every other
Ridge
one.
Ridge Racer!
And you know what? I don't care, because I like them.
Mm-hmm.
Ridge Racer is my Madden.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really sad because I
Ridge Racer 2007.
Yeah, but the thing is, they don't come out with one every year. That's why.
Yeah.
And I think like the when it came out, there were all these screenshot comparisons and like they were all fanboys going off about, oh, the 360 version has better textures and it looks better and all that shit. But to me, when it's in motion, the PS3 game looks a lot better. And maybe it does have shittier textures, but the bottom line is the overall aesthetic is brighter and a bit more colorful. And there's this really nice stage where you kind of go into a cave where there's a waterfall outside, and the reflections are really cool. And the 360 version doesn't have that type of stuff, so it's not like the 360 version couldn't do it, but it just doesn't. So, like I'm saying, if they ported 7 over to the 360, it would look just as good, but it doesn't exist there, and it looks better on PS3, and there you go. And the lack of rumble does hurt a little bit, though.
Oh yeah, success is no rumble.
Yeah, when you go over like a cobblestone road, like in the middle of a town while you're racing, like and then nothing happens, it kind of feels like it's not even six axis, so because I'm using the DualShock.
Oh yeah, that's PS3.
And the PS3 just it stops it on a hardware level, so you can't even say if I'm using a DualShock, put rumble in, unless they change the firmware, which that probably will happen. But I believe that and Prince of Persia, I am at 65%. And I aim to finish that game this week.
All right.
And
yay!
I really am starting to get tired of the combat in that game.
Oh.
It's
same thing?
Not, huh?
Same thing over and over again.
Yeah. It's. I mean, it's challenging now. You know, it used to be really easy, and it's challenging now, which is good. But like, it's not that it's the same thing over again and over again. Because God of War really is the same thing over and over again. It just remains fun.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it doesn't feel as responsive, which is odd because the rest of the game is all about how the Prince responds so well to your controller.
Mm-hmm.
And it just plays so well. But when it comes to the combat, it's like it feels like you're fighting in water. And maybe I'm just crazy. I just don't like it at all.
You're crazy, man.
You crazy.
You're crazy, man.
I like you, but you're crazy.
But it does it like the rest of the game is good enough that I can kind of overlook that. So, and that's all I have been playing. That was short. We're going to move on to the music really quickly so you can't understand what we're saying. We're going to really fast. English. Yeah.
Right.
So the August NPD numbers came in. NPD, for those who don't know, are the sales numbers in the United States of America where they sell video games.
NASCAR.
We're going to go through the console numbers, the hardware numbers. And number one, Wii sold 403,600 units in August. That puts its lifetime United States sales to over 4 million.
Mm-hmm.
The Nintendo DS sold 383,300 units, which puts its lifetime sales in the U.S. for 12.6 million. I don't know if that counts both lights and regulars.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, and that's a big distinction because people who have bought regulars have also bought lights, and that's me. So its actual market share may be different than what it's indicating, but anyway. Three, up from number five, is the 360, helped much in part to by the price drop and BioShock, I'm betting. 276,700 units, putting its lifetime sales over 6 million in the U.S. And the frickin' PS2 is still selling over 200,000 units. right now it's sitting at 39 million in the U.S. PSP dropped down under 200,000 for the first time in a while to 151 units. Leaving its, let's see, its U.S. installed base at 8 million, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And the PS3, which wasn't helped by the price drop, which is still sitting at 130,000 units at 1.7 million. Sorry, guys, but you'll get there when games come. And so as for software, obviously Madden took number one and number two spots.
August.
For the 360 and the PS2, boring, same thing. Probably not. I'm probably getting Madden fanboys to flame me. I don't care. Number three is BioShock.
Yeah.
490,000 units. 490,900 units, which is really good.
And probably no buyer's remorse either.
Yeah, and it's only for the only for the 360. So I bet the PC numbers push it up even more.
Hmm.
And then the PS3 version of Madden. And then frickin' Wii Play again. Is at number five, 257,000 units, and ugh. Well, you said something very, very, very poignant in your email about this, Al.
Oh yeah, it just sickens me. Wii Play, which I mean, I know it's because of the remote, and it's not because of the game.
Yeah.
But it just sickens me that this is the number one Wii game last month, and it further sickens me that there's what is that 1.9 million units sold, since its inception, earlier this year?
Yeah,
that's a lot of dumbasses.
Fortunately, though, Metroid Prime Corruption sold 218,000 units, and that's in its first week because it launched. What was it, the 27th?
Or
the 30th? The 28th, and so basically in August, August ends 3 days after the 28th, so it sold that much in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And Mario Strikers Charged, for anyone who likes football, I mean soccer.
Football.
Guitar Hero 2 is still freaking going strong with the guitar. Not just the game, but they're selling a $70 package. Right now it's sitting at 2.5 million almost, rounding up. 2.5 million in the United States. Shit, that's really pushing it. And then when did Roxy 80s come out? Because right now it's almost at 500,000.
Roxy 80s came out in June, I think.
Shit, one more month and it'll be gold.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest is more Madden and Brain Age and blah, they don't have numbers for that. So, yes, Wii is kicking ass. 360 is doing well. PS2 is still alive and doing better than its, you know, big older younger brother, which is kind of depressing, but I don't know. I don't think I've seen that too much before. I mean, I remember when the PS2 launched, I mean, I might not have been paying as much attention, but my perception was that the PS2 started gaining steam, and the PS1 was, you know, slowly going down. So but I don't know. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys want to make comments or we move on to the Wii segment.
Wii.
Okay, Wii segment, because there's a lot of Wii news. First, TurboGrafx CD and Turbo Duo games to be released on Virtual Console, finally. They announced it. They're making good on it. Games that you're looking forward to?
Ease.
Ease. I never played Ease. Yeah, that's going to be out the gate.
I, for one, hope they bring and translate Dracula X. I don't think it's going to happen, but they should.
Yeah.
Because I want to play it in its original form. I know the PSP version is going to be good, but I want to play it as it was originally created, without the 3D graphics, without the revamped levels. I want to see the original. Mm-hmm. Even though
with
the
awesome music.
Yeah. So there's Ease, there's that, but what other... there's Street Fighter.
Yeah, sure, Fighting Street.
Which is there... No, I mean Street Fighter, like Street Fighter 2.
No, oh, I'm talking about Street Fighter 1.
Oh, there's that too. That was a CD game?
Yeah, it was called Fighting Street.
Oh, God. I can't think of any other games, though. You know, I mean, the biggest one really was Castlevania, and then maybe, I guess, some shmups with the music. Or no, what else did they put out on TurboGrafx CD?
Just the shmups with the CD and music. I think it was called, like, Lord of the Thunder or something like that.
Lord of Thunder.
That was a good game. Then there's...
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, God.
Damn,
that's
I don't
so
remember.
Good.
I think Mega Force might have come out. I think
Mega that, Dick.
But then again, that might just be a, that might actually be a Sega game.
Oh.
Ultra Mega Dick.
Mega Dick.
There's a lot of shooters, like side scrolling shooters that were really good that right. one CD that had CD quality music.
They're saying Cho Aniki, which I think is a homoerotic game.
Yeah, Cho Aniki is let's not talk about Cho Aniki.
Yeah, let's not. I'd just like to point out that back when eToyChest.org was still eToyChest.org, their podcast, which was one of the most unresearched things. Like, I would listen to them and I'd be like, okay, you got that wrong, you got that wrong, you got that wrong. When someone was saying, I'm really happy at the prospect that Dracula X might be coming, and the other guy said, there's no way in hell that's happening. CD games aren't coming. And I'm like, what? So I wrote in and I'm just like, you know, they did just announce that at E3 that CD games are coming from the TurboGrafx side of things. And he was like, oh, no, I wasn't. This is a podcast where, you know, we can kind of just banter back and forth. We don't really do any research. And I was like, okay, that's number one. And then he was like, besides, you know, it's not going to happen. Even though they announced it, like, it's just not going to happen. Well, you were wrong.
Yeah, eat that crow.
You're a dumbass, and I don't know where the fuck you are, but you were wrong.
Yeah, eat crow.
And it doesn't matter where you are, you really should research your shit before you talk or say that you don't know for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
For sure, man.
Eat the crow.
Eat the crow.
Eat the crow.
Anyway, as evidenced by the NPD numbers, Wii has been doing well, but I think with the global sales, it has gone into the lead. It doesn't say here. This is from the Financial Times. It doesn't give me the numbers. Because the article is only for subscribers, but anybody who subscribes to the Financial Times, this article was posted on September 12th, 2007. Mm-hmm. Cumulative sales of Nintendo's Wii have overtaken those of the Xbox 360, making it the world's best-selling next-generation games console, in spite of having been on the market a year less than Microsoft's machine. Some skeptics will like to laugh at the word next generation. Mm-hmm. Feel free to laugh. The move puts Nintendo, a quirky Kyoto-based company dwarfed in size by Microsoft, back squarely at the top of the console market, a position it last held 17 years ago with the NES and the Super NES. So I don't have numbers. I think I saw somewhere else that it just creeped just over 9 million. So and the Xbox 360 kind of sitting at that mark as well. So maybe it's like 100,000 units more or something like that worldwide.
It prints money.
But seriously, though, like, if it weren't for Japan, the 360 is, you know, still a healthy competitor. I mean, it's doing well here, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's doing well in Europe and in Australia. So, I mean, hopefully this still keeps the competition fresh. And I know Iwata from Nintendo has been saying, we don't want to become complacent. We don't want to be arrogant like we were before. I don't think he used those words, but they were arrogant before, and that's why they lost. So, hopefully they don't become complacent because, you know, they know the 360 is a good competitor.
Yeah, and Xbox Live is a better online service, I hope.
Yeah. And right on the heels of that, Capcom is saying that it's been riding the Wii to profit. This is from Kotaku. Michael McWhorter says, "It prints money! Some developers and publishers may piss and moan that Nintendo dominates sales charts, making it hard for third parties to compete on the Wii and Nintendo DS. But not Capcom. They're turning competition lemons into profit lemonade as the company stock soared to highs not seen since its Onimusha days. Onimusha 2, sorry. With a stock value boosted by expectation sales for Wii games." Capcom is laughing all the way to the bank. So there's one third party who is profiting mightily off of this company. And I think the hardware manufacturers like Foxconn and stuff making the parts are also profiting. But, yes, so what are your thoughts on this? Because I know hardware, I mean, third parties have usually been like, well, Nintendo's usually selling the most games, and they're our biggest competitor, so why should we put games on their machines?
That's belly aching. Just make a good game, it'll sell.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I kind of see where they're coming from, though, because a lot of times good games don't sell.
Well, yeah. I mean, they have to have a good game that is more... I mean, think about it. Imagine if... Now, God of War was put on the PS2 solely, right? And it sold very well, right?
Yeah.
Now, if that same game was put on the GameCube only, do you think it would have sold, or do you think it would have been overshadowed by something that Nintendo made?
I think it would have been overshadowed by something that Nintendo made.
Really?
Yes.
How come?
Eternal Darkness is the hugest example of that. Metal Gear Solid, Twin Snakes, is also a big example of that. And the reason for that is because of the market for the console. And Nintendo continues to cater to what they think is the everyone market, which it really isn't. They're catering to the family-friendly market. And like Resident Evil is one exception. You know, I totally understand that one. But for the most part, I think if God of War was put on the GameCube only, and you know, with the market that the GameCube had,
mm-hmm.
you would have gotten the hardcore gamers to buy into God of War just like they bought into Eternal Darkness. But then, like, the million sellers would be Mario Party, Smash Brothers, Sunshine, and all that other stuff because of the way that Nintendo markets its systems and the way that it markets its games. And I don't know how much marketing would have saved God of War if it were to come only on the PS2, only on the GameCube. Maybe it would have done well, but I'm betting not. I'm betting it would have done okay. And then even saw Metroid Prime 2. They're talking about like, oh, yeah, it didn't do as well as we thought.
They didn't market it though. They didn't really market it though. That was what the problem was. Like they marketed the hell out of Metroid Prime. Mm-hmm. And then when Prime 2 came out, they thought it was just going to ride the wave of the Metroid Prime sales. So they just kind of did it. And, of course, they launched it at the same time as Halo 2.
I guess that's true.
Which may or may not affect it, but I think that launching at the same time as a super mega title definitely overshadows your title.
At the same time, though, I mean, you gotta think about the market and, like, how many people would actually buy God of War, and I guess the other problem is that it's really almost impossible to make this comparison because God of War was made by Sony's first party.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. It's kind of weird to say how would Nintendo have handled it if it made it, or are we talking about a fictitious situation where Sony would have made this game for GameCube? I don't know. It's weird. If Sony somehow made it for the GameCube, it might do better than I'm thinking, but I still don't think it would have done as well,
mm-hmm.
especially because of the installed base, too.
Yeah, you got a point there with the install base and marketing for the install base.
So I think that's why third parties are wary of Wii, but I think that in the Wii's case they shouldn't be as worried mm-hmm. because of the install base. Now they also do have to think about the fact that Nintendo is still catering to the family friendly market.
True.
When they should be really looking for everyone. I really think they should start an ad campaign like targeting, you know, those who are not in the blue ocean, those who have remained loyal. And those who like their 360 games and, you know, start to emphasize those games and emphasize those, you know, those third-party publishers that could bring those games. And we would like to play with you is not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That little ad campaign. Not.
We would like to play.
We would like to play. You want Hot Pocket.
Oh, God. You don't want to play. You want Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket. Next one from, and this is also about this on the heels of, you know, Wii doing better. Wii games should also look better. This is from Julian Egbrecht, family chief from Factor 5, who loves his lair when everyone else doesn't,
and can only ride at his dragon 80% of the time correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. All, but at the same time,
it's like Wii tennis.
Oh, God. But also, at the same time, made the technically proficient Rogue Squadron for the GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing about that game is they spent 9 months on that game. It looked fantastic. It was a first-generation game. And a lot of games still didn't look as good as that game did. Because those guys know how to program shit. And not for nothing, but Lair looks beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
So they know how to do stuff. And he's saying Wii games should look better. I think we talked about this before when he was talking to IGN Wii. Mm-hmm. And he's at it again. This is from Kotaku from Mark Wilson. It's saying, Factor 5's Julian Egbrecht may have taken some knocks on the chin for Lair's gameplay, but not many were complaining about the unquestionably stellar graphics of the title. And that's pretty much enough for me to name him an unquestionable authority on every platform's individual graphical nuances, and I would agree with that. Right now, Egbrecht's questioning an industry that's all but given up on the Wii ever making pretty games. And he says, if you connect, you can get a lot of shader effects which would have been possible on the 360 or the PS3. And he's talking about the Wii, has got so much more power compared to the GameCube. Well, it's twice as fast. I don't know about so much more power, but he knows better, so I'll take his word for it. If even, and here's the key here, is what I was griping with before and what, Al, I think you and I were talking about. If even with the extremely similar shader hardware, which is pretty much the same, the system clock rate is so much higher that you can do much more with advanced things. So I think when we were talking about it before, discussing like the HD era and stuff like that, and discussing whether the Wii was more powerful, and we said that clock speed wouldn't get higher resolution. I think that's where it could be put to use, is more cycles dedicated to, you know, textures and stuff. Maybe not 720p, but to do
maybe
some texturing.
Maybe 480p, but they already have 480p.
Yeah, we've seen it with Metroid Prime. There's no reason why it shouldn't be 480p as a standard, by the way. But we saw it with Metroid Prime 3. You know, we saw the game doesn't look that much better, but the lighting is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Much more so than, you know, in previous GameCube games. So, like, I think that's where they're putting that. And he's being asked why he doesn't think games are looking better. And he says, I don't know. The hardware is very, very easy to understand. Now, the problem might be is that some studios or publishers are discarding the graphical capabilities automatically simply because it is a Wii title, and they're basically telling developers, look, we're not going to pay for any advanced graphics.
That makes a lot of sense.
I mean, when you think about the 360 and people, you know, losing money or having to spend millions and millions of dollars on a 360 title, that kind of does make sense. But then Matt Asmussina from IGN, you know, in one of the fits of his accurate statements, you know, which I actually agree with, is, are Wii developers really saving that much money when it comes to games like Red Steel, which cost $12 million to make? And then they have to research the remote technology. They have to spend more on testing to get that tweaked right. They probably still are saving money, but it's not as much as like, oh, we can make a 360 game for $12 million, but we can make this Wii game for $2 million. You know, it's not necessarily like that. So
it might wind up being like that in a couple of years, because I think that Red Steel probably cost so much to make because it was a launch title and nobody knew about the hardware. But, you know, come a couple of years down the line, I bet when people get more familiar with the hardware and do the tricks, then it's probably going to be a lot less expensive, because the actual salaries or the amount that people are going to pay to get the games out is going to be a lot less.
Yeah, but I think that was a problem, though, because they did know the hardware. It was GameCube hardware. It was faster, but it was GameCube hardware.
Well, I'm not talking about the graphics
that was Nintendo's big. Oh, you mean the remote?
Yeah, the remote. Okay, it makes sense. A lot of time with that.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I thought you were talking about the actual.
Oh, no. The graphics hardware, I think they're being very lazy with that, and that they probably are like, well, we're not going to be paying you to do advanced shit, like advanced Wii-type shit.
We just want to sell.
We just want to sell the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, people aren't going to care about the graphics anyway because it's Wii. And then you get screenshots like fucking cruising. Nobody's going to fucking buy
Tony,
that
are
shit.
You seeing
that's
the
terrible.
Screenshot?
That is
the
like
worst
so
screenshot I've
year.
Ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh my God! That's before Dreamcast.
Yeah, no, even worse. I think
N64.
The Dreamcast looked way better than.
No. I said before Dreamcast.
Oh, before Dreamcast.
Yeah. It looks like DS graphics.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, PS1. I mean, there's so many jagged lines all over. What's the component that handles that, anti-aliasing or something?
Aliasing. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Aliasing.
So it looks like they just totally forgot how to use that. I mean, like, wow, this is terrible.
Anybody listening, we're not graphic whores. I'm not a graphics whore. I like gameplay over graphics. But if you are going to make a game in this day and age for your consumers, I just want people to show some effort. That's all. That's all I'm asking for. I don't need it to look like a 360 game. It's going to be on Wii. I just want some effort. Of course, I kind of do want 360 games to look good because I spent all that money on the console. But still, like, don't make a PS1 game, please.
That's awful.
Because we've already got Neo Geo looking ass games coming to the virtual console. We have enough previous gen graphics to deal with. Although I kind of do want my collection of Samurai Showdown games. Thank you very much. And they're selling for $9, which, if you remember the old Neo Geo prices, $150 per Pro Mega Gear spec carts. This is a good bargain.
Yeah, $300 for a cartridge, just so you could come home with Ninja Combat.
Ninja Combat.
Oh, money well spent. If you didn't have buyer's remorse on that, Jesus, unbelievable.
I was in a vintage store, I think on Thompson Street or something downtown, when I was meeting a friend for lunch, and I took a look at the cartridges, and they were costing only about $70, but still, like,
still
old.
Jesus Christ.
So
yeah, that's crazy.
That should be 10.
And I think, I could be wrong, I think those were the arcade boards cartridges that, like, you know, people package. Yeah, so those, you know, those are traditionally cheaper, so God knows how much the regular cartridges still cost. Mm-hmm. But they don't announce any launch dates for this service. I mean, for the first Neo Geo games or anything like that. I'm hoping it's soon, though.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what did they announce the release for TurboGrafx? Because I heard something about something like end of the year, by the end of the year, something.
I'd have to go back and look, and I closed the window.
That's all right. One of those two is supposed to come out by the end of the year, either TurboGrafx or Neo. That would be great, yeah.
Yeah, I know one thing that's never coming out, though, and that's Project Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Hammer.
We talked about it before, about the rumor of it being canceled. Well, it's not a rumor anymore, so it's dead. Okay, mm-hmm. Bye, Hammer.
See ya.
Please, Hammer, don't hurt him.
Yeah, because they've been spending all their time on the Wii Zapper, which still looks stupid to me. And they confirm Link's crossbow.
Training.
Crossbow training. Mm-hmm. This is from Brian Crescente on Kotaku, and it says, I've gotten official confirmation from Nintendo that the Wii Zapper interface will indeed come with Link's crossbow training packed in, and that the remote housing will sell for $20 starting November 19th, which is the day before Rock Band. Huh!
Well, $20 should be the day of Rock Band.
Oh, that's true. $20 on the Wii Zapper and his free software, or $200 on Rock Band? I'd actually spend $200 on Rock Band first.
Wait, what about $220 on Rock Band,
and this?
The Wii Zapper, two pieces of software, and a heavy-ass shopping bag?
No, just Rock Band. I'm not getting this Wii Zapper shit. Link's crossbow training drops players into a world in the style of The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. Players assume the identity of the hero Link, who progresses through a series of tests to perfect his crossbow marksmanship. Start with stationary bullseyes and graduate to moving targets before defending Link against all types of enemies. Okay, look.
Sounds boring.
The Legend of Zelda is one franchise that should not be hoarded out.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Yep. We Tingle. Saw what happened with the Philips CDI games, and we see what's happening with Tingle.
Please, no.
Do not whore out the Legend of Zelda brand name. Please. Mario is perfectly sufficient for whoring out because everybody loves him in any situation.
Well, it has been whored out. I mean, you got.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why it's perfectly good.
Right. That's why it's perfect. I mean, he's done golf. He's the referee in boxing.
Yep.
He's done typing, and
he was,
and like
he was
everybody
oddly
still likes him.
Cross for no reason.
Zelda is like the big thing that really should remain untainted, and it's already been tainted by CDI. Don't make it worse, because parents are going to start complaining about this thing anyway, and they're going to start associating Zelda with violence because they don't like the Wii Zapper. And this is coming from Susan blog.wired.com/games, which is Wired's blog.work game life. Parents in furor over Wii Zapper.
This is stupid.
Now, everybody listening, if you're at a computer, I want you to take the time to go look up what the Wii Zapper looks like. I'll give you 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 5. Now, would you ever confuse that for a gun?
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely. Military uses guns similar to this.
Here's, yeah, oh man. Oh yeah, pearly white. Pearly white, and like the handle for the trigger looks like a dildo. But anyway, what'd you say?
You know who would use this type of gun? Gay stormtroopers. So it could match.
Oh,
I just want my Zapper to match my uniform.
Helmets. And the remote IR sensor matches our eyepieces or whatever those things are. They're black, aren't they?
Yeah.
The eyepieces and the helmets. Okay.
Jesus.
Now here's Susan Arendt's article. When the video games equal violent kids debate rages, Nintendo is usually far from the fray. But as Computer Video Games reports, some parents have big problems with the soon-to-be-released Wii Zapper. Here's a sampling of the comments sent into the parental guidance blog at the New Jersey Star-Ledger. Well, first of all, it's New Jersey, so it already doesn't count. But here's a quote. Great, this is what we need. Children with guns learning how to aim and shoot. Then we can sit back and wonder what is happening to our country with kids killing kids. What's next? Can we make it squirt blood, too? There's a hack just so begging to be made now, isn't it? Keep reading on for more.
Oh, can I do the voice of this, please?
Yes.
The gun lag remote when someone killed, unless it's pink with a flag on the muzzle. And I spell muzzle, M-U-Z-Z-E-L. Toys and guns of yesteryear. That's sick. That is total sick. Toys, guns of yesteryear. We're red, blue, and whatever. No legitimate reason to risk anyone's life. The idiot that made the remote should have his or her brain checked, if they have one.
The idiot who posted this misspelled muzzle.
Yes.
It's not spelled M-U-Z-Z-E-L. I believe the L comes before the E.
It kind of does in some languages, yeah.
Yeah, like English.
And most other languages, I think.
Yeah, okay, and toys, guns of yesteryear. Yeah, okay, that makes no grammatical sense.
And he's also wrong about that.
Legitimate.
The toys of yesteryear were black.
Yeah.
Legitimate is spelled L-E-G-I-T. Too legit to quit.
Uh-huh.
Legitimate, not legitimate. And you call yourself a parent?
Yeah, I don't know.
You should get your brain checked if you have one. You know
what?
I'm going to go on this blog and see if this guy has a name.
Mm-hmm.
But wait. You got to read the last one.
I know. No, I will. I'm just trying to see if this guy has a name on the site so I can call him out, but he doesn't. So you're an idiot. You should not have kids.
Nope.
Here's another quote.
We announced over the summer that it's coming out with a gun-like remote, so kids can play shooter games while a shooter. What do you think about making a wand in the shape of a weapon so play is more realistic?
What?
Isn't it harmful? Will you buy one for your kids?
What the fuck does that mean?
What?
Stupid.
Means absolutely nothing.
Jesus. And then...
I think it's irresponsible for Wii to come out with a controller that looks like a gun so kids can play games while simulating shooting. What kind of message are we sending as parents when we buy these things for our kids?
Oh. Don't buy them for your kids then!
It's simple. Very
That's
simple.
The whole point.
Simple.
What kind of message am I sending to my kid when I buy him porn?
Oh my god.
You're sending the message that you're a bad parent.
Fucking idiots.
Ugh.
And you know, to even waste time writing in about this shit, I bet you any amount of money they just heard the word zapper, and they were like, well, it's going to look like a gun, right? Oh, no, I can't have that on my system. I won't even look at it.
And it doesn't even look like
but
a gun.
But I'm going to buy it for my kids anyway, yeah. And then complain about it.
Exactly.
Christ almighty.
Fucking people.
They got something else to complain about. Well, maybe they shouldn't complain about this because it's totally obscured and bastardized from the original version, which kind of upsets me from an artistic standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Manhunt 2's changes have been kind of revealed, not by the ESRB, but by Matt Casamassina at IGN. They played through both versions. And I'm going to let you guys, you meaning the listeners, read it for yourself. It's at wii.ign.com/article/819/819465, page 2. Sorry, 819456p2.html.
You fucked it up. No,
your
they can't
face. So go to IGN. And its Wii site, and look up the Manhunt 2 feature. I'll just read this last paragraph, or second to last paragraph. The biggest and most disappointing change relates to the major death strikes. When Danny sneaks up on an enemy, gamers can hold the A button down, at which point they will be given the option to pick from three different murder animations. And on the Wii specifically, they get to act them out with the motion-sensitive controller. In the AO-rated build of Manhunt, we could clearly see the over-the-top and horrific animations. In the M-rated version, Rockstar has added both an extreme blur effect and, in most cases, darkened the graphics so that it is nearly impossible to make any sense of what is going on. Players will be able to see the character movement, blood splatters, and sometimes they may catch a glimpse of identifiable action. For example, Danny jamming nails into the leg of a chair-bound opponent, which is awesome. But mostly it's guesswork, a garbled, motiony mess that's far less satisfying. The truth is doubly unfortunate because most everything else is unchanged, and because these death strikes are what gamers will want to work towards, they're the payoff for a job well done. Now the payoff is not nearly as rewarding. I wonder if they have videos of this.
Hmm.
They do have videos. I don't know if they're of the altered version. So anybody who wants to check it out, go see it. But yeah, I mean, they didn't do that for Manhunt 1.
Well, Manhunt 1, I think the death scenes weren't as bad, but I haven't gotten far enough to tell. Like, all it is like, you know, you got the, so far, there's the strangling with the plastic bag.
Yeah.
There's the shanking and the jabbing with the glass shard.
Yeah.
And then there's one with the big bat, but I didn't get to do it because I didn't know I could do it.
Right.
I'll keep you updated after I beat Metroid Prime 3, which would be like a month.
I don't know. I mean, I know that they did the more gory scenes in black and white.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I heard. Now, I'm wondering if the same couldn't be applied here unless the fact is that those death scenes were even worse than the black and white death scenes in Manhunt 1.
I don't understand. Probably. Something. I mean, like, they obviously got rid of the neck-raping thing, right? I mean, so...
Well, that might have been a joke.
Okay. It was a joke.
Okay, so...
I think that might have been a joke.
Or
by a
how about the cat in the in the microwave? That was a joke, too?
I wouldn't put it past them to put that in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say they got rid of those things. Why is it still considered adults only, or and they have to, like, thumb it down even more? I mean, I've seen bloodier games on other systems.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can tell you. I mean, I don't know. I think that because we haven't seen what the original AO rated game had in terms of what the murder was, we can't really say for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to bet that there are things in there that would make me kind of want to turn off the game and kind of go outside and take a walk.
Really?
But that does, like, but you know, I guess the issue of course is larger than that. I don't think that console manufacturers should out and out forbid AO games. Maybe they take it on a game by game basis, even though that still is type of censorship. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's the bigger issue. That's what we discussed earlier. But I think, you know, it's maybe it does deserve AO. Who knows? Mm-hmm. And even if it does, we still deserve the right to play it.
Right.
So, and hopefully, like, everybody's been talking about this, especially Ethan, other podcasts, everything. A director's cut for PC.
Right.
Hopefully.
Right.
So we never know. But, I know that The Punisher, which was a game for Xbox, had very gruesome death scenes as well, and they did those in black and white.
The wood chipper.
Yeah, they put those in black and white too. So, and then there's one more issue with Wii, which I think Al should take. It's voice chat and the lack of it from an editorial on IGN Wii. You want to take it away?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Because I think you're most familiar with it. I skimmed through it, but I don't know it exactly.
Oh yeah. Basically, I think Matt talks about. Yeah, there's an editorial by Matt. He basically talks about how the Wii is pretty much the only console out here right now in full production.
That doesn't have
voice communication with online gaming. And just with the onset of some major online games coming out, like hopefully Smash Brothers Brawl is still not completely confirmed. there's Mario Strikers Charged, Pokemon Battle Revolution, which, you know, takes over from Pokemon Gold and Gold. What am I thinking? Pokemon Pearl and Diamond, which do have voice chat.
Right.
You know, it's kind of messed up that the Wii doesn't support a third-party headset or has its own headset when it already has its own headset for the DS. Mm-hmm. And then there's other games, like they were talking about Nitro Bike and... Battalion Wars 2, which is supposed to have two-player co-op.
Right.
And, you know, games like that, they could really benefit from voice chat as opposed to those canned responses like follow me, stay here, stuff like that. And not even a keyboard would really be sufficient in this type of environment.
Because then you have to stop playing and...
Yep.
Yeah.
And he said he even thought about NFL 2K1 for the Dreamcast. Mm. When it was online and when you would... beat the crap out of somebody if you didn't have... He says... Actually, as a matter of fact, I'm going to take his quote because his quote was really funny. Because I didn't think that people would do this to be really annoying.
Right.
He says, when playing Pokemon Battle Revolution or Mario Strikers Charged, I'm reminded of the 7-year-old Dreamcast footballer NFL 2K1 online. Back then, you either used the Dreamcast keyboard to type messages online or you were effectively mute. Wait, is it? Okay. I can vividly remember scoring a touchdown.
Scoring touchdown after touchdown
against an online opponent, and his only means to communicate his frustration was to repeatedly tap the pause button. That is so messed up. And on Wii, you can't even do that because I don't think nowadays you can pause online games.
Wait, we should read the opener. Not the opener, but like the second paragraph. Having entered my editor Mark Boson's friend code and he mine, the two of us were able to quickly assemble an online match. We played for 15 minutes without any noticeable lag, and when the series was finally over, he's talking about Charged. We were both returned to the title's Wi-Fi connection interface where we could potentially set up another bout. Then my telephone rang. Hey, that was pretty fun, huh? Do you want to play again? Asked Mark. I did. Listen, stay on the call while I cycle through the settings. Which stadium do you want to play in? Why use a telephone? I'm saying, why should they be made to use a telephone for lack of this chat?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like so 1992. Oh, man, that was a great game of Doom. You want to play again?
Sure.
Yeah, come on. What stage? You know,
what state, or like we have to use Roger Wilco or something,
right, exactly.
Like that. So
that was,
they don't even have that. They don't even have a third party like software.
Right.
So, well, at the same time though, someone who is Art Green from the Long Dead Gamers Lounge podcast, which died at episode 2, which I wish would start again. He had a blog post on GameSpot called "Why PS3 Online Games Will Be Better Than Xbox 360 Games." Fact. He says people don't talk on the PlayStation Network. That's why it'll be better, because people are annoying on Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, that's why I only play with friends. And if I play with friends, I'd like to talk to them. So,
mm-hmm.
I guess we should wrap it up, and we can move on really quickly to the Microsoft and Sony news and then go to the mailbag.
Mailbag!
Sure.
Conclude your... Try games!
Dot.
Net.
Yeah.
So any closing comments for your article? I mean, not for the article that you found?
Yeah. We get some fucking voice chat since you already have it for the DS. Enough said. I mean, I don't even give a fuck. You could have pack in some kind of DS card that allows you to communicate with the thing, with the headset, and then give it to the people who bought the headset for free. I don't fucking know. But come on.
I completely understand where he's coming from. Okay, moving on to the Microsoft news. Dennis Dyack is still on his period. Silicon Knights scoffs at Epic's legal motion. I'm going to go through this really quick. Where's the quote? Simultaneously, the counterclaim, blah, 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 blah. In response to Epic's counterclaim, Ontario-based Silicon Knights, developer of Eternal Darkness and the upcoming Two Human, argued in his most recent filing. Silicon Knights has very clearly and sufficiently alleged that Epic has done much wrong. Consequently, Epic's motion to dismiss should be denied. Let's see. For Epic to attempt to dispute the merit of these allegations of the original suit under the auspices of a motion to dismiss is improper. Therefore, Epic's motion to dismiss should be denied in its entirety. Epic should be ordered to answer the... So Epic's motion to dismiss should be dismissed.
Yep.
This is a motion
because they really did do wrong.
This is a motion to dismiss Epic's dismissal motion.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh, this is so fun. But there's more fun. Ninja Gaiden 2 screens were leaked earlier, and they look freaking awesome. And they announced it later. It's confirmed for the Xbox 360. And it sounds like... here's a press release from Microsoft. So it sounds like Microsoft Game Studios is publishing this game. And that's actually the subject of an email from one of our mailbag contributors. So we'll get to that in a second. But Ninja Gaiden 2, I need to finish one. I'm tempted to get Sigma for the PS3 just to have a game for my PS3 and just to see what it looks like. I played the demo, and it looks really good. I mean, there's some last-gen things like blurry textures and stuff, but it still looks really pretty. But that might be a waste of money because it's the same game with a little bit of extras. I mean, it's good, though. I wouldn't mind buying it again. I just need to
save. But wait, which Ninja Gaiden do you have?
I have Black for the
for
Xbox.
For Xbox?
Yeah. And I played on my 360, so it's upscaled.
Right. Maybe I'll buy your Black or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
Let's see. Halo 3 sells for $124 on eBay. I don't know how the hell it got leaked, but it was in Australia. They removed that from the site, and Halo 3 did go gold, so I mean, that's probably why it got leaked.
Mm-hmm.
Take-Two loves BioShock sales and discusses a sequel. Okay, BioShock so far has been great. I'm not going to say that great games should not have sequels, but this might be the type of game where you just want to leave it and set it and just, you know, have it have its glory in the sun and kind of just move on from it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else complained that like they don't want to see it franchised because it was very, very story driven, and they don't want to see people try to shove story into it to make a sequel, like Metroid. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would love to see more BioShock. I would love to see more System Shock, but hopefully they, you know, if they do a franchise of it, they don't whore it. They take their time. They take 2 years, 3 years to make it. They don't put it out every 10 months like Splinter Cell. So let's see. Next news segment. This is actually the rhythm game segment because there's a whole bunch of Rock Band stuff. GameStops are revamping stores to make room for Rock Band and SingStar. Because, you know, Rock Band comes in a big-ass box and SingStar comes with a microphone, so it comes in a bigger box. There's a quote, "Honestly, we're having to retool the way we think of things in our stores in terms of merchandising, layout, and also customer service because it is no longer only the hardcore gamer walking in who knows exactly what he wants." And the source of this is a CNET link called "Casual Fans Drive Growth of Video Games." And this is just, you know, the whole story of Wii again. And, you know, Guitar Hero is a huge part of that. I mean, I guess I hate to say this because I've been one of the whiners, but anyone who's saying, like, oh, Wii is casualizing everything, Wii is going to bring down the destruction of gaming, someone should look at Guitar Hero and DDR.
Mm-hmm. DDR in particular. And that'll and, bring like, a party together.
And Karaoke Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying those are bad games at all. In fact, I love Guitar Hero. I'm just saying that it's not just the Wii that's doing it. By the same token, maybe Nintendo, you know, kind of took influence from Guitar Hero and was like, hey, they're doing well. But, I mean, yeah, it's here to stay. You know, everyone – and while Guitar Hero is a – you know, I'm sure, Tony, you've seen me and Al, like, you know, play the freaking ridiculous difficulty levels. Oh, yeah. Like – and you wouldn't call that casual,
no,
would you?
You can't be casual.
But it's very accessible,
I mean,
though.
Yeah, it is accessible and stuff like that, but only a really, really hardcore hardcore gamer wants to really get it down. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Otherwise, exactly. They just go and impress their friends, you know, playing Chemical Romance.
And yeah, so I mean, like, yes, there are very, very difficult and hardcore aspects to something like Guitar Hero, just like there are in any other game, but it's like... the majority of people who play it just play it at parties and they have fun with it. So it's a big casual hit, and you know it's going to continue. And I just hope that if they're going to make casual games, that they're like Guitar Hero, where you can take it to the next level, like Rock Band, where if you play the drums, you will almost have learned how to really play the drums.
Almost.
You know, almost without the, you know, the crazy setups. And you said there was like a second kick pedal, right?
The second kick pedal, the hi-hat pedal. Yeah.
But in terms of learning like 4/4 beats and all that shit, like you get the basics down where you know you can actually get that far. So I mean,
yeah, but
if you're gonna make casual games, make them so that you know intense people can get something out of them too.
By the end of the week, you'll be able to do dum 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 dum, and you'll be
do 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 do. And then steal the guitarist's girlfriend. And more rhythm game news: Guitar Hero 3 rocks the Mac and the PC. Which would be actually awesome because if I bought like a portable guitar, I could bring my laptop with me to my job and play it at the corporate housing because I can't fit an Xbox 360 into my luggage without fearing it breaking. And you're supposed to be able to play cross platform between Mac and PC owners, which is kind of interesting. And then there's some more news on Rock Band. They added Soundgarden, Kiss, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Mm-hmm. Three more tracks. Kiss's Detroit Rock City.
Oh, God.
Donnie California. Is it Danny or Donnie?
One of the
Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then Soundgarden's Black Hole Sun.
Oh, awesome.
And that's it for the rhythm game news. Someone put up a preview video for Guitar Hero 3 on YouTube. I think the user's name is Mexicano, and it's spelled M-E-K. Sicano, yeah. And he's the guy who made the video. It's pretty funny, but it's pretty good. It headlines some of the songs in there. You know, it puts clips of Welcome to the Jungle and even Dragon Force in there. So if you just want to see
a long section for Dragon Force,
yeah. So if you see a really good long section, if you see the names of the songs, but you're not quite sure what they sound like, go check out that video. We're gonna end with the Sony news before we hit the mailbag. Someone puts. The folks at Curmudgeon Gamer, it says here, by Susan Arendt's Game Life Post, decided to test out the backwards compatibility of both the 60GB and 80GB versions of the PS3. And so the final test results... Oh, okay, so this is using his own library of 90 PS2 games. 98.9% of his games worked. All of the games, except for one, worked perfectly or with minor inconvenient issues, like corrupted audio or graphics. In the 80-gigabyte scenario, 12 of his games were unplayable, as opposed to one, giving the unit an overall score of 84%. And they say to remember that, obviously, this is only one man's experience, but many of the games he tested are likely to be in your collection, including Grand Theft Auto, Splinter Cell, Katamari Damacy, SSX, and Devil May Cry. So you go to curmudgeongamer.com and look up that article. It's CURMUDGEON gamer.com, and he tests them. And so those are actually kind of in line with what the announcements from Sony was. Sony was saying, like, right now, 99% of all PS2 games work on the 60 gigabyte and, like, 80-something percent on the 80 gigabyte. So that's actually in line with what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. If you don't like the 80 gigabyte, maybe you could get a 40 gigabyte this Christmas for $399. Conventional wisdom has suggested that the 80 gigabyte PS3 will drop in price once the 60 gigabyte units are gone, but a new rumor, this is a rumor, hints that there may be more to Sony's holiday plans. A mole tells Opposable Thumbs that a 40-gigabyte version of the PS3 will be joining its larger cousin on store shelves this holiday season at a price point that won't break your bank. I would have bought a $399 PS3 at 40 gigabytes. I actually might have bought that.
Would have had the backwards compatibility.
That's why I was saying I might have if it weren't for the fact that they took it out.
And took it out.
They probably did. I mean, yeah. I think that's probably the whole reason why they started this whole new SKU. That was the biggest cost for them, was the Emotion Engine.
Mm-hmm. And people are buying PS2s anyway.
Right. So Tony, if it came out for $399, which is well, not anymore, but it was the same price point as $360, which was $399 right. at one point. And it you know, its holiday showing was good. Would you now have a choice between the 360 and the PS3, or would you still just go with 360?
Fuck Sony.
Okay. Oh God. Well, when they come out with Final Fantasy 13, and it's not
for 360. We'll see. You know, yeah. But that's a year down the line, or so.
Two years
down the line. Okay, yeah.
2009.
And then Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, well, I could do without Metal Gear Solid 4. I've seen enough screenshots of it. I feel like I played it already. So, right. You know, I'm not really. I mean, it looks fantastic. Explosions, lighting, all of it looks just fantastic. But I don't know. I'm not gonna buy a game just because it's part of a series. You know, I didn't even play Sons of Liberty 2. I haven't played that one. You know, the last one I played was Sons of Liberty. You know, I didn't play Snake Eater. I didn't play anything for like the portable system.
Wait, did you say Sons of Liberty 2?
Is it Sons of Liberty 2 or is it just?
There is no Sons of Liberty.
What 2. Is it? Metal Gear.
No,
it,
Sons of Liberty is Metal Gear Solid
right,
2.
Metal Gear Solid 2. So what's the next one?
Three is Snake Eater.
Yeah, I didn't play that one. And I didn't play any of the portable ones, you know, so I'm not really, like, this is not going to push me to buy a system, you know. I will be more inclined to buy the 360 for BioShock and for Mercenaries 2.
Right.
Sony, I'll Rockman. Probably pick up, like, maybe 2 years down the line.
Rockman.
Yeah. Right. I don't care.
Oh.
Here's this funny site for Sony fans, and this is, I really, really think this is tongue-in-cheek. I don't think they're serious. It's called SonyDefenseForce.com. Defense is spelled the American way, so with an S. SonyDefenseForce.com. And all these blog posts are basically huge, huge amounts of spin on everything that comes out that gears it towards Sony and against other companies. So this one at the bottom, Sony's here's a quote from a manager of Xbox 360. Sony is requiring a novice gamer to buy into things like Blu-ray and wireless gaming by default. The 360 core is about giving people the same experience as our other consoles, but letting them upgrade when they feel comfortable doing so. And so the title of the blog post is, Microsoft, cutting edge tech is bad, buy the GIMP pack. and then here's another one where it says, what do you do when you don't have a job and you failed high school? Q for Halo 2 weeks early. So, because they're saying that some guy lined up 14 days in advance to line up for Halo 3.
That's crazy.
And then, let's see. Oh, my God. This is a picture of this really fat guy. Oh, yeah. Guy who pissed on his Xbox 360. and then, okay, FASA shut down. FASA is the maker of Shadowrun. Mm-hmm. And the headline
and
is
MechWarrior.
Yeah, MechWarrior. It says Microsoft shutting down internal game studios, preparing for console gaming withdrawal? ? and then where's another one? PlayStation brand dominates August NPD charts. And they put a chart that said that basically says this: the 360 sales, the Wii sales, the DS sales, and the Sony family sales.
So which is PS2, PS3, and PSP.
So they that beats out everything else, but meanwhile the Wii and the DS added together totally trumped that. But they had to separate them out for the purposes of their spin chart.
I like the graphic for the Wii. It's an old guy.
It's an old guy with the Wii. And then it says, can GameSpot's upcoming Halo 3 review be trusted because it has ads for Halo 3? Never mind the fact that they probably had ads for tons of Sony games. And then the eBay Halo 3, they spun it to say that a Halo gamer is disgusted and sells his advanced copy on eBay. Wow. Okay. Everybody should go to this site and support it because it's obviously a joke. And if the site's not a joke, then you're the biggest losers on the face of this earth. Tony, why don't you make a really quick reading of this Jack Thompson article to close out the news segment, because we got to get to the mailbag and Alice to leave.
Really quickly, Thompson headline. Thompson sends own son on personal sting operation against Best Buy. We have just received an email from attorney Jack Thompson stating that his 15-year-old son has purchased a mature-rated game, Bioshock, from a local Best Buy. Thompson informed us that Bioshock is created by the notorious Take-Two Interactive. Already an agenda. Already an agenda. Okay? You may have remembered them from publishing some ultra-violent games as Grand Theft Auto. Thompson says that using his son in a sting operation, he's proven that...
Sting.
He's proven that Take-Two's upcoming releases of hyper-violent sex-themed Manhunt 2 and Grand Theft Auto 4 will be widely sold to kids of all ages, despite promises that Take-Two Interactive Software Rating Board, ESRB, and major retailers. No word if Thompson will allow his son to play the copy of Bioshock. Let me tell you something. This goes with those parents that we had on, we talked about before, you know, with the Wii Zapper. This guy is the fucking worst of all these parents, okay? That is irresponsible. You don't use your own son to take after your own personal agenda. That is just fucking irresponsible. He's a bad parent. And, you know, it's bad for his fucking kid because now his kid is going to think that this is normal. So if his kid grows up to be an adult, he'll probably use his son in the very same way.
His kids probably be made fun of so much.
No schooling for these kids because he's probably having them homeschool because they do get the shit kicked out of them. Because they're Bible-beating, you know, fucking people. I mean, just everything about them is either religious or it's harmful or this. And he just missed the fucking point. You're doing more harm to your son, okay, than anybody else could ever do, okay? Not only that, at 10 years old, he used his son to buy Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
From
Best Buy 10? Again. Wow. Okay? Mm-hmm. He used his son, 10 years old, to do that, to go after his own fucking agenda, and he's irresponsible for it. Not only that, it would be a miracle if his son even owns a fucking video game system.
Okay? Oh, no, of course.
Let alone, I would just imagine that if just for some odd reason that he did own a video game system, how the kid would have been fucking disappointed. I mean, father's like, you can't play that. Get out of here. Fucking irresponsible.
You know what's funny is the fact that, like, again, he makes a misstatement by saying, Take-Two promised. They didn't promise shit. They're not the ones who made the games.
As a matter of fact, that lawsuit got thrown out. You don't have no claim against Take-Two Interactive. And also, isn't this an indirect way of getting back at Take-Two? This is like circumventing the decision that was made.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I think Take-Two should look at this, and if he decides to sue Best Buy, Take-Two is going to be involved in this action, and they better take measures to countersuit Jack Thompson for breaking the order. And Jack Thompson's going to be out of some fucking money.
Next thing he's going to do is pretend to be a kid toucher and get on To Catch a Predator, and then spread his message. He's like, I'm Chris Hansen, and I'm doing a story on internet predators. Is there one last thing you'd like to say? Yes, I want to really get violent video games.
It was dragged away by people in white
suits.
Yeah,
he's like, I don't care. I made my message clear. God. Fucking Jack Thompson. Let's move on. We're here at the mailbag. We have to answer one question before Al leaves. Only one. He only gets to answer one because he has to leave because you aren't important to us. So, Al, which question will we choose?
We're going to choose Digimatrix's question.
Digimon's coming out next week!
He says, aside from Lair Red Steel, what other games could have been oh so great if just another month or so was spent on polishing by fixing annoying bugs, save glitches, etc.?
Lair and Red Steel. Oh, I'm sorry. Aside from them.
Yeah.
Redundant.
And how crucial does polishing play in the role of a game's development? I know some of you might have been playtesters, only me, for some games in the past. Enlighten me on how us testers or developers can affect a game just a few months before launch.
Are you actually a tester or developer? Just wondering before you use the word us.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Should there be an obligation or a obligation to do...
An obligation. It should be an, Digi.
Yeah, should there be an obligation to do a certain amount of polish? Yes.
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 Well, just before you continue, everybody who makes like an obvious grammatical mistake, just because I love shitting on you, I will call it out. Just like I did Marshy last week, I will do it to you this week. A-N obligation, because it's a vowel.
Preceding a vowel.
Yeah,
because
it's the word starts with a vowel.
Yeah. Yep. So begin, Al, sorry.
Yes. All games deserve an amount of polish that makes it work.
And rarely any do.
Rarely any games really get that type of polish that allow it to completely work without any glaring, obvious main track bugs. And it's funny because like you see a lot of games, you play through a lot of games and you don't really notice any bugs and things like that, which is great. But then there are sometimes you get games like Phantasy Star, the conversion for Game Boy, where every so often you try to save the game and it crashes the game.
Yeah, things that actually do break the game or do come up in gameplay, not things that you see if you're actually trying to break the game. Mm-hmm. Like they're always going to be bugs where you actually if you try to break the game you will find them, but it should be polished enough so that in normal gameplay it doesn't happen.
Right, and it should be polished enough such that you have to put in a lot of effort to find any kind of issue like that. And
like the fucking bug in Eternal Darkness where it erases your save. Oh, wait, that was a sanity effect.
And
if you haven't played it by now, you're an idiot.
Well, hey, some people, they haven't been exposed.
Well, they're idiots.
They're idiots then. I'm making the sarcastic blanket statement right now. No Eternal Darkness, you idiot.
You idiot. Yeah, and see, stuff like Lair and Red Steel, these are games that are blatantly bugged out. And it's like these games should not have been released. There are lots of games that I have tested personally that...
Turok!
Have... Yeah, Turok.
Burr!
Burr!
Let's see, I mean, I can really name them. I mean, there's Turok, there's SX Superstar... There's BMX XXX. Mm-hmm.
Titty Spice.
There's XGRA.
Oh,
there's,
that had bugs in it?
Oh, yeah. That game actually was delayed for a long time because there was a bug in the PS2 version that you couldn't finish the game.
Oh,
you would get to a certain point and you could not actually finish the game because of either the scoring or because of the game flow. It just didn't actually flow to the point where you could finish the game.
Oh my god.
Because the game was just like that broken and they took like months upon months trying to solve that bug, trying to find it and fix it. And I don't think they really fixed it, but they brought it down to like a very low percentage that would happen.
Okay.
You know, and then it was like Paris Dakar. Paris Car was a terrible game. I don't even want to talk about that. But anyway, there were lots of games that have been released by Acclaim, and it's probably testament to why Acclaim is under, you know, because their games came out, and they may have been good, some of them, but a lot of them were just plagued by really shitty bugs or really bad design decisions because Turok
and no matter
out,
what
and
you
and
said,
Halo
they
Reach.
Said, we're on a deadline. We have to release these.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, because...
And they'll make an exception once in a while for, like, XGRA.
Well, yeah, because that game could not actually be released.
Right.
because it wouldn't pass the standards. We couldn't finish it.
Right. Also, you got those memos that says as is, right? Leave it alone. Like when you made a issue.
As designed.
Yeah. Oh no! Well, yeah. There's working as intended.
Yeah.
There's this ain't gonna be changed.
This ain't gonna be changed.
There's we don't have enough time to fix this. You know, it's funny because sometimes you have to fight in order to get things fixed, and sometimes you lose. And sometimes you get games that look like Vex.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Claws in the wall.
Claws in the
you
wall.
Got your claws to the wall.
You walk, you're walking with these long, stretched out arms and stuff in very rare occasions. But anyway, we don't even want to talk about that because, like.
Vex before you sex.
How do you
sex,
have
sex.
A game and, like, 3/4 of the way down the life cycle, you completely change it?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You add fireballs.
You added moves. You added an intro. And this is a point in time where the game is supposed to be finished. You're supposed to be polishing and fixing annoying bugs and save glitches. And you spend time to create a brand new intro.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then that had to be tested. So it's like, a lot of games could have been great if another 3 months or so were spent on polishing and fixing before we even got to the testing phase.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then a month of testing those things. It's just crazy.
For anybody wondering, I know we read about a story where a developer had this really, really shitty flight game.
He brought in
like a friend to help coding, and the friend decided to do the cool cam that like highlighted really cool stuff that was going on while like the rest of the game was in shambles. And the investors, all they saw was the cool cam in the meetings, and they said, okay, we'll give you more money. And they were able to finish the game and make it successful. That's different. That is a different situation because Vex was already green-lighted.
Yeah. And so that game got that extra month.
Yeah.
You know?
So before anyone says, it's just like that, you should make intro movies. No!
And that game was really funny. I mean, you shoot and the wings fall off. You hit the ground and you bounce out to the atmosphere. It was awesome. I wish I had that buggy version.
Yeah. Maybe it's a cheat code to unlock it.
Yeah, shoot.
Someone has to go pay the bills.
Yeah, I gotta go pay them bills.
Did you upload your pictures for Guitar Hero League? Did you PM Zaps?
No, I'm gonna do that when I get to work.
Okay, cool.
But I did upload the pictures, the most important part.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Cool, so, Al.
See ya.
Enjoy work, Al.
Goodbye. What? Enjoy what?
Enjoy work.
What? Don't make me come to your house and bitch slap you. Don't make me slap you and call you, what was her name?
Susie.
Susie. Shut up, Susan. All right, I'm out of here. See you
later, man.
Susan. So I will list off these games that I think could have spent another month with polish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, bear in mind that this doesn't mean that I think that they're bad games, that all of them are bad games. Some of them are actually really excellent, but it's just that, like, polish could have totally sealed the deal.
Right.
I'll listen while you think of them. Call of Duty 3 for Wii. Definitely the motion controls and some of the graphics.
Mm-hmm.
The graphics definitely could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
I know that for a fact because I'm looking at Metroid Prime 3.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they were people clipping through the floors and the ceilings.
Yeah.
And there was shit like these weird black bars and lines like flickering on the screen every once in a while where there should have been shadows.
Right.
That could have been cleaned up. 24 the game.
Oh, God.
The frame rate could have been improved. I mean, maybe it wouldn't have saved the game, but at least it would have made it more enjoyable to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Rayman DS. Let's not even go deep into that. Just say that the original game was a marvel of gameplay and graphics and sound and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the DS version basically took it and shoved it up its rectum, let it marinate there for about 2 weeks, and then spit it back out.
Mm-hmm.
The graphics were too dark. The camera, the frame rate was shaky, and the D-pad control was laggy. So if you pressed up, there was like 0.4 seconds that went by before your character actually moved. That could have been fixed. I know that. That could have been fixed. There's Asphalt Urban GT, which is a racing game for the DS, which is really fun, and it plays really well. But there are certain things like you can crash. I mean, you can go into the sidelines of the road. The sidelines, I'm sorry. The edge of the road and basically drive through lampposts because there's no collision detection on the sides of the roads,
only
on the actual roads themselves. So that kind of lets you cheat, and it's really weird. And the the physics otherwise, like when you crash or when you, you know, kind of take a leap off of a off of an incline and land, they're kind of off.
Uh-huh.
So it makes it feel a little bit too unbelievable and a little bit like sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
But the core gameplay is really good, and I do enjoy the game a lot. And that's an example of a game that could have used more polishing, mm-hmm. but was still already good. And then finally, there's Deus Ex for the PC, which I still, even with these bugs, would rate like a 5 out of 5. Even when you get a War Inspector type game like this, where it's like open and, or claims to be open, and there's so many choices to do, and so many upgrades to make, and such a huge story, and so many logs, and all that shit to read, there are going to be bugs.
Okay.
And there's some bugs like, I mean, it'll the Unreal Engine would just crash randomly. And it's, you know, due to the graphics driver sometimes. And sometimes you couldn't do anything about
right.
it. Other things weren't bugs, but just polish. It doesn't, like, it's a shooter and an RPG. But sometimes it feels like an RPG with shooter mechanics slapped onto it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's the other way around. Because the shooting, like, I don't know if you've ever played it.
No, never.
But if you, you know, the feel of it. If you play that and you go play something like Quake 3,
mm-hmm.
which has really smooth gameplay, this is this like you might think like, Austin, why the hell do you like this game? This is a piece of shit.
Right.
It's really not about the shooting, and that's why I excuse it. It's not all about the shooting.
Right.
It's about stealth. It's about thievery. It's about hacking. It's about role playing. It's about you know, choosing your own path. The shooting is just one part mm-hmm. of it. You know, but your guy runs slow, and your headshots don't always hit.
Right.
I mean, they don't always take someone down, even when you, like, zoom in and hold your breath and, you know, kind of make sure that your aiming reticle is at that right spot. So it could have been better, and it just could have made, like, a 5-star game
mm-hmm.
even more of a seal-the-deal type of game, where it's like, you know, you guarantee that, yeah, this is going to be, you know, for everybody. Everyone's going to love this game.
Right.
So, but, again... It's still a great game. Do you have anything that comes to mind?
I could name hundreds off just off the NES.
Pick one, not a hundred.
I know. And I'm not saying this is a good game or it would have been a better game had they chose to fix it. But SNK in general made a lot of shit fucking games. One of the most memorable is Athena. I'm not sure if you ever played that.
No, I heard. I know that that's where the character comes from King of Fighters.
Anyway, Athena is probably the worst fucking example because you can't pass it. You get to the last guy, and literally there is nothing you could do to beat him. Nothing, at all, ever.
In how is it buggy?
No, it just like you hit him with other weapons, and it doesn't indicate that anything is hitting him. So he's hitting you. He's killing you. You're not hitting a damn thing, no matter what weapon you use against him. You know, and it's like some weapons, you know, they'll like kind of ricochet, like arrows will ricochet uh-huh. If they hit something solid. So, you know, it's hit. Arrows go right through them. Go right through the last enemy. Just go anywhere, you know, and you fly too. So he's like, he takes up the whole screen. So like you shoot at his head, nothing. Shoot at his neck, nothing. Shoot just below his eye, nothing. Shoot here, nothing, 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 nothing. Can't pass the fucking game. Cannot pass it. And I was like, oh, fuck this shit. Quest 64 for... Now, I'm not saying that it would have been a great game had they just spent a little more time on it, okay? I'm just saying that's an example of a game that really had a lot of fucking problems. And it was like a launch title. So, I mean, you would want your games to be good for launch, right? You know, but...
Yeah, but those are often the ones that suck only because of rushing, which is kind of a weird paradox.
That is weird. Mario 64 had its share of clipping, too.
Yeah.
You know, and some issues with the camera control and stuff, but...
I would say that's a side effect of the technology, though, because, mm-hmm. you know, 3D wasn't all there yet.
Mm-hmm.
They were still learning it, so...
Okay.
But, you know, there was clipping. I definitely saw that, and it kind of made my eyes bleed.
If you look, there's this video, I forgot where it was, where a person actually beats Mario 64 in, like, 24 minutes. The whole fucking game. Okay? Why? Because of the clipping. He could actually go through...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he could actually go through areas that should not be open, but, yeah, he just clipped his way through a door or through a wall and gone to those areas just to get the required stars. You know, so, right. And he did it in 24 minutes. I was amazed. Right. Okay.
Oh, I got one.
Yeah.
Ninja Gaiden for the NES.
Oh, boom.
Yeah, I mean, I keep on saying that over and over again, but it's like the enemy placement is the one thing that holds that game back from being complete, mm-hmm. like, amazing.
Also,
like, I love the game, but it's like,
yeah.
you can't have enemies that spawn in the same exact place right after you kill them. Like, the birds.
Yes.
You'll hit a bird, and it'll come back.
Yes.
And it'll come back. And
yes.
It's just, you know, that could have been changed.
Yes. Also, if, like, the slower-moving enemies, like, if you just move a little bit to the side, like to your left side, and then come back to the right side, it'll respawn another
disappear.
Guy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So you'll have a group coming after you for no fucking reason, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a perfect example, though.
Yeah. Should we, any more games? Should we move on to,
No, I think we should move on, because I could just go on all day.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Marshy Man, host of On Point Podcast, says, and because we made fun of him last week for spelling witch, which is W-H-I-C-H, as witch, the one with the
right.
evil wand and the hat. My mom's from Honduras, but I was born here. So is it all right that I rely on spell check? No!
Oh, oh my God.
Never rely on spell check for synonyms, not synonyms, homonyms. Which is what witch and witch are, homonyms.
Homonym.
We did actually answer this in a previous podcast, or this was one of the topics, but mm-hmm. we'll go through it really quickly again for you. Is it just me, or are games getting ridiculously easy since the old days of the NES? I recently got an NES again and have been playing one of the greatest games of all time, Mega Man 2. To me, though, it's also one of the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
That and Ninja Gaiden, which you just talked about, yes, that is hard.
Yes.
Define how hard a video game can be, but I got something to say about that. What do you think about games becoming easier? Also, with the Wii getting my grandmother involved in the whole gaming scene, do you think that hard games will go the way of the pussy, meaning I only see it once in a while? If at all.
Yeah.
That I added that part.
Yeah, I know.
Also, while we're on topic, what are some of the hardest games you've ever played? I'll just list off the hard games before I actually answer the question.
Okay.
Ikaruga on GameCube, Radiant Silvergun on Saturn, Ghosts and Goblins on NES, the original Mega Man.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare.
No One Lives Forever on the PC, and... this is going to be a weird one, but Picross on the DS, because I'm stupid. It's a puzzle. It's easy and it's hard. Like, the hardest ones get you stumped like no other, and you have to make a mistake in order to move on. But,
right.
Do you have a couple of lists before I answer the question?
Offhand, Ghosts and Goblins, all of them.
Yep.
All of them. You know? what's one of the hardest fucking games? Jesus. You know
didn't
what?
You
I'll come back to me.
Okay, because I was going to say, didn't you, like, recently pass some really hard-ass game? That was like an old school
which
game.
We call it fucking.
It might have been.
It was
God
of War.
God
of War on the last, yeah. you know, the ultimate level. Not
yeah,
God of War 2
of...
on Supreme
yeah.
or
yeah.
yeah, God of War 2. Yeah. Don't do it.
Marshy, there are plenty of games that we could list
yeah.
That are hard if we bump up the difficulty level. So we're just gonna keep it to default.
Yeah,
I'm just keeping it to default.
Okay,
levels,
I'll keep it to default as well. Yeah, come back to me. We'll answer this question.
Okay.
I got so many games in my head.
Yeah. So, are games getting ridiculously easy?
No.
And I think I've said this many times on like other message boards and stuff, but just because the old games were hard doesn't mean that they were difficult for legitimate reasons. And I guess one can make the argument that it doesn't matter how it's difficult, it's just difficult. So,
mm-hmm.
maybe, yes, games are getting easier, but I think that's due to design. I think it's due to people knowing how to make games,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the Ninja Gaiden example was mostly only hard because of those respawning enemies and the way that the design was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Old games like
Ninja Turtles.
Something like Ninja Turtles, like they were just poorly designed. The hit detection was poor.
Mm-hmm.
I should have listed that as one of the hardest games
yeah.
I ever played too.
Ninja
that
Turtles.
Was.
Yeah.
Something like Al said Total Recall last week, where you had to know how the movie went in order to play it. That's a design flaw.
Are you saying?
So it's like, it's that type of thing where as games get advanced, they become better designed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anyone will tell you that Ninja Gaiden on Xbox is no cakewalk.
Mm-hmm.
I just listed Ikaruga, which was on GameCube. That was pretty hard. And again, like games today are giving that default level a little bit lower.
Mm-hmm.
So that people can actually enjoy them, because there are a lot of people who don't enjoy games that are way too hard.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about games today, you still have that difficult level of like insane on Gears of War, which no one needs to tell anybody that like everybody knows that it's already freaking insane. It lives up to its name. Tony was just saying you know, the Spartan mode and the God mode on God of War, those are pretty hard. The Devil May Cry, as if the rumors are correct, was incredibly hard in the default
just
setting.
On easy. Yeah, it was
Devil May Cry 3, I should say specifically, was even harder.
Wow.
What else is there that I can think of right now? There are games that have easy parts and difficult parts, like freaking Jordan on Guitar Hero 2. Mm-hmm. That song is like, I still haven't beaten that song. A lot of people have, but they're really good at the game. That's why they beat it.
Mm-hmm.
So no, games aren't getting easier. They're getting better.
Better.
They're getting better designed, and they're also giving the option.
Uh-huh.
But you play a game on a difficult setting, and it'll kick your ass. By the way, Mega Man 2, in my estimation, was pretty easy. Unless you're playing on the difficult mode. So you should give difficult mode a shot. That is pretty hard, even though I can see
Mega Man 1 was the hardest game.
Mega Man Hard was harder.
Yeah, was the hardest game I played at that time. That was crazy. I didn't even pass that.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, no save. And that's also a design thing. They had no save, no password, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the whole thing with the Wii. No, I've said it already with the whole I think it's on the same lines as the casual thing. No. No one should blame Wii for games getting easier.
Right.
The Wii games are going to get easier.
Mm-hmm.
But games as a whole, they're still freaking Ninja Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden 2 is coming out.
Right.
Wii's not stopping that. There's no reason to worry about that. I mean, you just have to – there's God Hand with its adjustable difficulty that if you do better, it'll get harder.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Al is saying with God Hand. So, I mean, they're hard games out there. I mean, you just have to look and you just have to realize that older games weren't well-designed, period. So, I mean, that's the way I see it. Have you thought of any more?
I'm having a pretty tough time with Final Fantasy 12. I know the guy said that it's an automatic game, man. Shut up.
Yeah, a lot of people have given up on that, hopefully.
So stupid. It involves a lot of strategy, and sometimes you have to do things on the fly, even though it's automatic. Stupid ass. I'm at a part right now where I'm just getting my ass handed to me. So my option is play another 80 hours to try to level up so I don't get my ass kicked. Right now I'm on 89 hours. That's a long fucking time
Holy
to play a game.
Croc.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how near to the end I am. This is a huge game. 89 hours on this game is a long fucking time. And trust me, I've been doing shit on this game. I haven't just been going like back and forth, oh, I don't know where to go. No, that's not it at all.
It's automatic.
Stupid. Yeah, so it's a pretty hard game. I would put it up there as far as, and you know, most role playing games aren't really that hard.
Final Fantasy VII Chrono Trigger.
It's like once you know how to use the magics and know the enemies and stuff like that, it just becomes pretty much rote.
That's automatic.
You know, so
what I consider a hard RPG is one in which you can't just go through the game without spending some time to learn stuff. Like,
right.
I think in Final Fantasy VII,
mm-hmm.
I never really sat around to make my materia grow. I just played through the game.
Right,
and
right.
I rarely died. I rarely had to use a tent.
Mm-hmm.
That is a game that I would consider easy as a
that game was easy, especially if you did level up your materia.
Yeah.
Then it became easy. You know?
But in the grand scheme of things, I think Al made a good point to me once that he doesn't consider any RPG to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of work.
Now, he might change his tune if he plays this game.
Yeah, I mean, a lot. That's what I'm saying. Like, until you get to this type of game.
Mm-hmm.
And until you get to a game like Final Fantasy VIII where the enemies actually level up with you. So that's
different. Oh, wow. But, oh, that sucks. Yeah. Oh, also, hard game. Zelda 2.
Yes. Good
Zelda
2. Good, yeah.
Took me a long time.
That could also use some polish as well to
answer
the other question.
Oh, that had a lot of issues. Like, for instance, when you jumped and he slid.
Like, I didn't mind
on
that.
The landing.
I thought that was like Mario. That's how I felt about it.
Uh-huh.
So that never ever bothered me. What bothered me was the inability to find shit because the people in the towns wouldn't really tell you anything that
right.
made sense. Like, I am Error.
Oh, yeah. That's, there's a man in the woods who's a pet of Error. You know,
I'm a pedophile.
Yeah, exactly.
I am Error. Or, would you like to see my Error?
Yeah. Or how about, I think one of them, you had to find, like, a mirror, and it was, like, one of the furniture things.
It was
like,
under the table.
Yeah, under the table, and you're like, what the fuck? What am I doing?
You had to press down and B, and who the hell is going to know to do that?
Exactly.
Anyway, should we move on
to
the next
question? Yeah, we should move on.
Okay, it's from Colby. What are your reactions to the news that Ninja Gaiden 2 will be published by Microsoft Game Studios? Does this has to mean that the game is only coming to the Xbox 360. What does this mean to you personally and the industry as well? Is PS3 losing too many games? It depends on what the contract is. I mean, maybe this is a deal of different regions, I guess. But for example, Capcom, I believe. I could be wrong, but I think it's Capcom who publishes Grand Theft Auto in Japan.
Really?
Let me look this up. Yeah, because I think that Take-Two doesn't exist in Japan, so they don't publish it over there. But Capcom, Grand Theft Auto. See, other podcasters, this is called researching. E-Toy Chess Podcast.
So who's it's still Take-Two's intellectual property? They just put it under Capcom?
Yeah, Capcom, basically, you know, Rockstar said, we'll give you the rights to publish this in Japan. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, with Ninja Gaiden 2, Team Ninja may have made a deal with Microsoft and saying, hey, look, we'll let you publish this on your Xbox 360, but we want to hold the rights to have someone else publish it on PS3. So, the whole thing with Gears of War, I think, was that, I mean, the contract might have stipulated that the property belonged to Microsoft Game Studios. Mm-hmm. Ninja Gaiden's property does not belong to Microsoft Game Studios, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've made some deal that does happen, but no, I mean, it shouldn't. They don't have to restrict themselves to publishing to Microsoft. Mm-hmm. It could be. I'm trying to think of other games that have switched publishers. I remember way back, Square used to publish the Final Fantasy Legend games on the Game Boy. And Sunsoft took over that, like about halfway through the life cycle of the Game Boy. Sunsoft came in the last year and published that. Because I used to play the game on my friend's Game Boy, and it was Square. Mm-hmm. But when I got my own Game Boy, when I got my copies of the game, it was from Sunsoft. So, you know, it can switch. It all depends on the contract. Now, as to the fictional scenario of maybe the game is only coming to 360, maybe it is. You never know. I mean, he could be right. Maybe it is. I'm just saying that publishing by one company doesn't restrict it. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you personally and for the industry as well? Is the PS3 losing too many games? I don't want to call this PS3 losing a game because it was never necessarily going to be a PS3 game. We never knew that, unless we did, and I just wasn't around to know that. I think that games should get to as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about it, so I think it should be on the PS3. I think that the PS3 is not gaining enough exclusives. Mm-hmm. I think I don't know. I mean, is it losing too many games, like from the whole thing before? Maybe you could consider it that, but was it really losing Assassin's Creed? No, it still has it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it still has Assassin's Creed. It still has, what other game was there? I'm trying to think that kind of jump shit. It still has Devil May Cry 4. Mm-hmm. It still has. It doesn't have Fatal Inertia. I think it might be getting Fatal Inertia back. I don't know if anyone cares, but it's not. I guess his question is losing exclusivity a big deal? And again, like I said, no. Games shouldn't be exclusive. They should be for as many people as possible. If someone could put Metroid Prime 3 on the PC and have people on PC play it, that would be good for people on PC. Right. Let people play the games. Guitar Hero 3 is coming on PC. I remember this kid on the forums in the Guitar Hero League's unit was like, it just seems stupid to me. And I was just like, yeah, it's really stupid to have people who want to play it but don't have a PS2 to be able to play it. That's really stupid. I mean, no, it's not stupid. He's wrong.
Right.
As far as is it losing exclusives, again, Ninja Gaiden wasn't necessarily ever exclusive to PS3, so that's kind of a moot point. The question should be, is PS3 getting enough games? And I say, not now.
Nope.
And I'll repeat again, like I said before, it will next year. So it'll be fine. I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't think it matters that they don't have exclusivity to games, so long as the games are selling. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like, you know, if the game looks better on a PS3 than it does as opposed to the 360, maybe that'll be a selling point for you to get a PS3 version, you know, or to get the PS3 with that game, you know? So
right.
I think you should. It should be up to the consumer to buy whatever platform they want it on, so long as it doesn't get toned down. Like for instance, they released Spider-Man. Both versions on the 360 and the PS3, I think, are almost identical. Okay, it's just like graphical nuances here.
Right, right.
They ported it over to the Wii, and it's a much more. It's a different game, and it's a crappier game. That I don't agree with. If you're going to put anything on another platform, either make it better, do not make it worse. Do not. It's that, you know, I would think, if anything, the Wii is losing games if they keep on porting shit over and it's just bad. You know, we would be losing out. So I think it all depends on if you're going to lose a license or anything else like that. Make sure that your version is better. Just put it that way.
So what's your public saying? Your public service announcement? Do not buy.
Do not buy Spider-Man 3 on the Wii, please.
Now, I mean, I really think that Spider-Man 3 could have been saved, and it's so stupid the way they did it.
You know, I know you have to deal with graphical limitations, but don't...
There are other ways to make the game good.
Yeah, don't make a different fucking version.
Well, I think it's fine to make it different as long as it's good.
No, and that's the whole thing. It's different, and it's bad. It's differently bad.
Okay, right.
It's badly different.
Yeah. Threepwood Lives asks, and he has changed his name again. I got to ask you about that. Why have you changed your name so many times? Let's see. Video games as art. Could Bioshock be a prime example? As a wannabe filmmaker, I was really taken aback by the narrative in the game. It really struck an emotional chord, and quite frankly, I couldn't care less if the gameplay mechanics aren't entirely new. Your thoughts? I've only played it for about an hour. Tony, I don't know if you've played any demos.
No, but
pieces.
I got the Game Informer magazine, and that's the first game that I've ever seen them give a 10 on two opinions. Two opinions they gave 10
on. I think they did that for Final Fantasy X and Metal Gear Solid 2.
Really? I'll research that.
Yeah,
but,
which neither score of which I agree with.
Whatchamacallit?
Twilight Princess, I think.
Twilight Princess. I think I got like a 9 something. I'll look at it again.
I'm pretty sure I got a 10.
Yeah, I'll look at it again. Anyway, I haven't seen the game, but let me tell you something. I am so enthused to get the 360 for it because the screenshots.
Or your PC fixed.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because the screenshots look absolutely amazing. And if it plays as good as it looks, I'm sold. You know? You played it for about an hour. What are your thoughts on it?
My thoughts are I also couldn't care less if the gameplay mechanics aren't entirely new because it's done well.
Mm-hmm.
It's done very well. And let me think. I played it for about an hour. I'm just generally a fan of games like that. And even though it's been done before in System Shock... Or mm-hmm. something like Deus Ex. It's mm-hmm. That's the type of game that comes along only once in a while. Not too many people do things like this mm-hmm. the way that Bioshock does it. The narrative. Well, here's my stance on things. It's a really unpopular opinion. A lot of the time, I could give a shit about story. I couldn't give a shit. Not that I ignore it.
Right.
I'll enjoy it if it's there.
Right.
But if a story is fantastic and the gameplay is rotten,
mm-hmm.
the game is bad. Period. I will call the game a bad game.
Oh my god!
Like, I'll just it really can't. It doesn't affect me. On the flip side of that, I think that games need to, you know, have developed and deep stories.
Yeah.
In terms of not all games.
No.
But there has to be at least some games out there that do it to validate it as an art form, because that's what it is, and that's an argument for like another month. Because I could go on and on about why people are wrong when they say it's not art. I'm sorry, you're wrong.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of reasoning and like stuff that I don't even understand that like I was discussing that I was listening to someone else saying
mm-hmm.
That makes sense. It's just that like I'm not an art student, so I don't know his terminology. But it's definitely a prime example. It probably sends a message. You know, if you didn't know, Tony, it's based a lot of it has to do with Ayn Rand's philosophy.
Okay.
Objectivism and all that stuff. I'm not too familiar with that, but it sends a message, and it paints a type of picture and a story and an environment. And it's to the point where a lot of people say I have just more fun just watching it because it feels like a cinema.
A movie. Yeah.
Yeah, and not in terms of like cutscenes, but in terms of watching the game as it unfolds.
Which
is really powerful because instead of just saying cutscene, mm-hmm. cutscene, like Half-Life, it does it in the game.
Well, let me put it this way. When you listen to music, do you consider music an art?
Yes.
And if the music is good, you say that artist is fantastic, right?
Yeah, art.
You acknowledge that you call this person an artist. Okay,
yeah.
He's not painting a picture; he's doing sound. Now, picture a game which has artwork, which has great music, and has a great narrative. And how can you say that's not art?
Right. A lot of people say that because they think that art is a compliment or a delimiter of quality. That is not true.
No.
Because art is art. There is bad art, and there's good art.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, art's not – when you call something a piece of art, you're not saying it's good.
Right.
Unless you're using that specifically, that type of phrase. But I can look at a painting that's, like, a line through the middle, which I've mm-hmm. seen in the MoMA, which is awful. And, yeah, it's art. Yeah. It's art. It's just really shitty art. You know, and like, the other thing is people say – a lot of people have been saying, oh, art, you know, is just – art is there. Art is not made to make money. Art is not there to serve a purpose. That is total bullshit.
That's stupid. Then why do it?
You know how many – no, not only that. A lot of people just do it for the art. But a lot of artwork, busts, paintings, mm-hmm. portraits, all that stuff, a lot of that was commissioned by the mm-hmm. royal families, okay? A lot of music was commissioned. A lot of mm-hmm. Mozart's music was paid for and commissioned. But that's art. You take that away from it's really stupid that people, you know –
Listen,
try to say that if it serves a purpose, it's not art. That's garbage.
Right. No, but doing something that, you know, if you're an artist, you're going to do something that you love and you want other people to love. Therefore, right. it's art. You know
but
what I'm
even,
saying?
Even if you're not an artist, if you mm-hmm. if like if I say I'm drawing this picture mm-hmm. because I want to sell it and make money, it's still a piece of art.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I'm sorry. That's what it is. That's what it. You know. There's too much to talk about, and there are things that
exactly.
I don't have sorted out in my head, so mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave it at that. So he goes on to ask, does Time Shift really have a chance this holiday season? Granted, not everyone's going to be into Halo or Mass Effect, but heck, is Clive Barker's Jericho even going to receive the love it probably deserves? Mm. I really hope that particular game doesn't go the way of Undying, which remains relatively unknown to this day, and I really have to reinstall that into my computer because I only played it for about half an hour before I got the shit scared out of me.
Well,
it was really good for as much as I played it. I don't know if either game does, to tell you the truth, just because of what you said, Mass Effect and Halo. I mean, mm-hmm. Will it make money? Sure, it's a shooter. People like shooters. Will it get that much attention? I don't know. Maybe they want to put out another demo before it releases.
Mm-hmm.
The Time Shift, at least. As far as Jericho goes, I don't know when that's coming out. I don't know if it's on the horizon or if it's far in the future.
Mm-hmm.
If Clive Barker does a good job himself of promoting that game to his audience, that's mm-hmm. the problem. I'm sure that some of his audience, maybe some of his audience are more moviegoers, book readers.
Yeah, but he could do horror conventions and it's still advertised
sure.
for this game. You know.
Yeah. The question is he going to be able to get those fans of his – does he writes books too, right? Is he going to get the fans of his books and movies, who are fans of books and movies, but not necessarily games, is mm-hmm. he going to get them to play the game? That'll be the key. Hopefully he does, but he probably won't. Yeah, I agree with you there.
Probably not, but if people love his work, they're just going to buy just to have it. So
Maybe some people do that. Yeah. My friend Dave borrowed a PlayStation 2 mm-hmm. and bought 24 the game because he loves 24. that's the only reason why I bought 24 is to support the show.
Right.
And, like, the PlayStation isn't even his. Once he gives the PlayStation back, he's still keeping the game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree with you. I hope it doesn't go the way of Undying either. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it probably should, you know, if Undying's any indication of what Jericho will be like, it should be played.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. Let's move. I don't know if you answered his first question. If a game has a fantastic story and the gameplay mechanics are either stale or mm-hmm. mediocre, or maybe in his words, not entirely new,
mm-hmm.
But still good. Maybe it depends. Maybe you can differentiate. I mean, what are your thoughts on a game like that? Like, would you be like, nothing new and throw it away? Or would you be like, you know what? I'm here for the story. I'll stick with the story.
No, I don't think I could. There's only so much of frustration I could put up with. Like, if the play mechanics are hindering me from
right.
going forward into the game, I just
right.
won't know the story. That's
what
it.
What if they're fine and they're just the same as you've seen in other games?
Well, yeah, well,
if they're good.
If they're responsive, you know, if it's doing everything it's supposed to do and I'm getting to point A and point B, why not? Yeah,
sure.
Of course.
More of a good thing can't be bad.
Right, exactly. But on the other hand, conversely, if the story is really, really bad or long drawn out
and the gameplay
and
is really
the play
good.
Mechanics are fantastic, then you got Final Fantasy X. I'm not going to fucking play through it. I swear to God.
Well, okay, you know? But let's say forget about the – let's say if a story not in terms of not being long drawn out, but it's bad.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's a really shitty story.
That'd be Resident Evil.
Yeah. And you, so it sounds like you still play it.
Yeah, I played through it. Even though the voice acting was horrible.
You, the master of unlocking, would make better use of this.
Oh, no. How about this? I thought you became a Joel sandwich.
Oh, jeez.
You fucking dick.
last question before we call it a day from Doveman.
Yeah.
And he says, if you guys are still planning on doing the one console future topic, I have a question. We will when Ethan gets back. I'll answer this question really quickly, though. Do you think that having a one-console future could lead to a one-publisher feature as well? If so, what effect would this have on the quality and range of titles available on one console? No. That's my quick answer. No, it won't.
No.
The effect that it would have, though, is shit. It would be a shitty effect. It would have lower quality. But there's always someone out there who wants to make a different type of game, who wants to put out a different type of game, and who's willing to give the funds to a certain type of developer. So, no, I don't think a one-publisher feature will be... in the cards, and I don't think it's practical. Yeah.
It's not legal. It wouldn't be legal. There would be no way. Like if EA got too big, they'd have to split up EA.
They probably would end up doing that. Yeah, they probably would. Also, as a side note, I went to an EA preview night recently, as I drove the longest distance to attend. I won a free EA game of my choice. It was a pretty easy choice, or so I thought. I chose, of course, Rock Band, but they said that the offer only applies to titles being released this year. In Australia, we usually get the titles at the same times that you do. But do you think there's a delay brewing, or do we take this as a grain of salt because they probably don't want to give Rock Band away for free? I ended up getting Half-Life 2, the Orange Box for 360 again, which is a great choice, by the way. That's not a bad choice at all. It just kind of sucks that you were jilted out of Rock Band. I'm going to bet that they just don't want to give it away, but at the same time, I don't know how it works in Australia. You just said that you usually get all the titles at the same time. Maybe it won't come at the same time for you guys because there might be licensing issues with the music. And I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work. I don't know how long it's going to take for them to get the licensing for, like, you know, and all the downloadable content too. Like, I don't know what the deal with distribution of, say, what's an album that's, I don't know, some of the albums that are coming out, like Metallica. I don't know what the licensing rights for you guys down there are. So maybe there is a delay. Because answer us this. Let us know whether or not you got Guitar Hero and Guitar Hero 2 on the same day as we did in the U.S. That would be a better indication of the question. Because if you did, then maybe EA is just having more trouble, which I can't imagine because EA is a super publisher. They have like all the power. So, but yeah, I mean,
That does suck. He didn't get that though.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
A free and the fact that they probably have a bundle for $200, they probably were like, we don't want to give this kid $200 worth of stuff. So, but they could have just given you the game and the guitar at least, God. But I think that does it for the questions, and that does it for this episode.
Yay!
Closing remarks. Tony, closing remarks at all?
Yes, closing remark is if we, you know the Wii Fit, right?
Yeah.
Okay, if they make a Zelda game for that, I'm throwing my fucking Wii out the window. That's it.
Closing remarks, Al. Oh, hey, I'm at work.
Hey, Mimic.
I'm at work. I'm putting up the photos at work, and I hate my job. closing comments, Ethan. All right, let's do some housekeeping up on the website. Let me just click on this really quick. We have it's not up there yet, but I'm going to put it up. We have a video review from, again, from Jedi Skills 173. Also known as Eric. It's going to be of Project Silphied up very soon. And, of course, it's going to be in HD. If you guys have the means of playing his HD movies, I suggest you play them. They look really good. You can download a media player called VLC Player that's free that plays all manners of formats without having to install a codec. So if you have, like, an Xvid video and you don't want to install the codec on your system, you can just play it through that. It also does region-free DVDs. So, yeah. If you have a British DVD that you'd like to watch, use VLC Player. That's not a plug. I don't know anybody on that team. I just think it's a kick-ass piece of software. What else is on the site? We have nothing new. That's it. Just that. And this podcast is going to be on the site, obviously. we're going to have a Final Fantasy XII review from Amlabella soon. I'm going to put that up there.
Cool.
Anthony, if you're watching, sorry for the delay. I'm going to put it up. And that's about it. Remember to listen to On Point Podcast. GameSpot.com/MarshyMan50/user/MarshyMan50. And GameSlays Radio, Riven still hasn't gotten internet in his house yet, so they haven't recorded a new podcast. It's still at 25. But if you haven't listened to them, go. It's GameSlaves.net in GS Radio. is the link, or you can find them on iTunes. And remember, please review us on iTunes. Tell us that we're doing well. Tell us that we're doing bad. Give us your reviews. iTunes, I know, does require a credit card to register and review, so I understand that, you know, it's a little bit of a hurdle. But at the very least, subscribe to us.
We're worth it.
Yeah, we're worth it. Subscribe to us. You know, if you listen to us, just hit the subscribe button. You don't even have to use iTunes. Just use the subscribe button. Do that for Game Slaves as well. And that's it. For Ethan, who's not here. For Al. What's that? For Boner, Tony. I have been your host. What?
I have no idea.
Yes, I have been your host. What? Question mark. Austin Chupon. Yes. Done. Random noise. Okay.
Don't make me come to your house and bitch slap you. Shut up, Susan.
Brr!